Yes, indeed. We are in conversation with 0829-913-913. That's the WhatsApp line. The Banking Association of South Africa, BASA for short, has turned down an invitation from the Institute for Race Relations to put forward its views on the implementation of the expropriation bill for its clients. We now chat to Institute for Race Relations Program Manager Terence Corrigan. Terence, welcome. Terence Corrigan, welcome to the show. I believe we haven't got Terence yet. We were all rushing around doing all sorts of things. This is very interesting, this expropriation bill, because what essentially is occurring here is, let's say you have an existing bond on your house and your house is expropriated, question mark, do you have to carry on paying your bond to the bank? And the banks have decided to be very silent on this, and the Institute for Race Relations is asking all the hard questions. Terence Corrigan, welcome.
And very pleased to be here.
Interesting scenario that you've put to the banks. Let's say I own House X. It's expropriated without cost, and I still owe something on my mortgage, and the bank doesn't want to give you an answer. Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty indeed. Well, look, this is a situation where the country is moving from what's been a largely conceptual threat to one that is becoming a very real and present tense danger. Now, we have been very vocal about the dangers of moving in this direction. But it's, in a sense, time for brass tacks, time to explain how will you deal with these real-world situations, not the big questions about, you know, shielding ourselves from exposure. So, we have written to the Banking Association of South Africa and said, what is your take on this? If you find you're in a situation where a client of yours for whom you hold the bond is expropriated at zero compensation, or even at a sort of lesser amount of compensation, which seems to be where the expropriation bill is going to take it, and that is below the amount outstanding on the bond. What is your view? It's a key strategic issue. And we feel that this is something that needs to be addressed.
Why are the banks so quiet, or are the banks so busy repossessing houses from unfortunate people who couldn't pay because of COVID retrenchments or something?
Well, look, the responses we've had so far say that they're reluctant to discuss it until there is certainty about what's going to happen. Although we would rather argue that if you wait until there's certainty, and that rather forecloses the possibility of, a more productive outcome. I think, you know, in their very, very partial defense, this can't be a comfortable position. You have the interests of the banks as institutions. And I imagine that will be their primary concern. You also have banking being a very, very regulated industry, so there's a lot that goes that rides on relationship with the government. But you know, this is all speculation. Until someone from BASA comes and tells us, your guess is rather as good as mine.
I mean, it seems as if, the idea of expropriation, it might in the long term obviously serve a political need. I mean, land is a big question. But it does seem right now as if the devil is becoming in the details.
Well, you know, I think that the details, large and small, often contain many a devil. I think that this has been chased largely on ideological grounds. It's been put forward as a solution to the malaise of land reform, which I think actually has to do with the ability to acquire land, and with a whole slew of other problems which will remain even if every square inch of the country is confiscated tomorrow. But, you know, if you can imagine, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of households around the country, encompassing millions of people of all races, colors, socioeconomic backgrounds, who have the aspiration of owning a home and have put themselves into hock for 20 years or, you know, whatever period, to take out a bond from a financial institution to buy that home. That is the largest investment they will ever make.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy if any of these people do see that dream smashed by state action. And given the way the state often acts in South Africa, one can't always assume it will be for reasons of great honor and probity. But think about this: many of us you'll spend the first couple of years paying, you know, 9,000-10,000 rand a month, and just really servicing interest. You know, the sort of sliding scale, unless you have a large amount that you can dump in right up front, which most of us don't. Now, can you imagine that you've been paying this off for 10 years? You find that your asset is confiscated. You're offered, let's say, a quarter of its value. The bill, as it states now, sort of washes the state's hands of things and says, well, any compensation we paid out needs to be negotiated. Now, maybe, you know, the bank sends its team of high-priced lawyers and you cede everything, and they say, well, that's nice. You still owe us R1 million. Do you spend the next 10 years servicing a bond, paying off that R1 million, you know, having lost your asset? Now, that is the crisp question we wanted to put to the banking association. We understand that they need to safeguard their interests, but is this really how they intend to deal with their clients who find themselves in this situation?
What I find a little bizarre is, why have the banks themselves not asked the question? Because surely it's in their interests if they might stand to lose something on what they would regard as their investment, which is my house or your house.
Well, if you look at the submission that Barca sent to Parliament on the issue, they do discuss that they want more certainty or more recognition of their own interests included in the bill, which at present recognizes unregistered right holders, and they want more emphasis on the registered right holders. In other words, the holders of a bond, for instance. There is also some suggestion there that they would need to be compensated in the event that they're going to take a hit. What officials from various banks over time have suggested is that, we're sorry about this, but if you lose your stuff, you know, we still expect to be paid. There are a couple of examples of that float around. So it's not that this is off their radar, but there just seems to be something, unethical and uncitizenship-like. We want to talk about corporate citizenship, and I think that's a very important theme. The King reports on corporate governance said that it's not good enough for a firm to focus just on its own bottom line. It needs to be engaged with a society from which it makes its money. I think this is a prime case of that. There needs to be some sort of, from our point of view, some sort of recognition on the part of the financial sector that if this occurs, you know, it can't simply be about bailing out, for your own interest while letting your clients carry the can.
No, absolutely. So that certainly is a very, very interesting question. Terence Corrigan, project manager for the Institute for Race Relations, talking about the Banking Association of South Africa turning down an invitation from the organization to put forward its views on the implementation of expropriation bill for its clients. Let's say you own a house and it's expropriated and you still owe money to the bank. What happens? Well, it's a question mark right now. Terence Corrigan, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Shavik.
In conversation with Shafiq Morden.